What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hot Shots. I'm Jedi, and with me always is Houdini and Deepaw. What's poppin', boys?
How we doing?
Como esta?
Muy bien, y tú?
Muy bien.
Still don't know what you're saying, but last podcast we were talking about Tom Brady potentially being a minority owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. We were talking about how his deal at Fox and the discounted price that the owner is going to be giving him the franchise for is kind of concerning to some of the NFL owners who have to vote on this matter. And we posted it on YouTube. We appreciate everybody that's been commenting so far, but I just got to shout this guy out because it made me chuckle a little bit. D. Harward said, "No, no, no. I've been a Raiders fan for 57 years. Brady is awful. He's the Antichrist, if you will. Keep this cancer out of our building." So, is there like unknown beef between Tom Brady and Las Vegas Raiders fans that I'm not aware of?
Yes, and I didn't even put the two together until you kind of just made that comment. The Raiders NFL created the Tom Brady dynasty with the tuck rule. That's where it all began. Charles Woodson strip sacks Tom Brady on the, you know, within like the 10 or 15 yard line in the middle of the snowstorm in the AFC championship game or AFC division game. Completely changes the course of history if that call goes doesn't get reversed like that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember that game clear as day.
And it's 100% a fumble, too.
You can explain it to me. Call that freaking nerd, Dean Blandino. He can explain it to me any way he wants. It's a fumble. So, and I do think that specific year, I think the Raiders were the best team in the playoffs. And it wasn't even close. I think the Raiders were. Yeah. That was legit. Yes. That was their Super Bowl. That was their Super Bowl winning year. And they got robbed of it because all of a sudden you do get the second coming of Jesus, basically, where the rules now changed. It's called the Tom Brady Tuck. Like anyone that knows football is going to call it the Tom Brady Tuck. And it creates this Patriots dynasty in which the Raiders just fall off after that game. They've made two playoff appearances since.
Well, I don't know. It seems like the fans might not want Tom Brady to be an owner of their team. I don't know. I feel like he knows a thing or two about football. He might be able to help.
That is such a trolly move by Brady, though. Like, of all the teams to get a minority ownership in, you call them?
What? The only one would be like an AL East, or not AL, AFC East division team. Like, I don't know, who did he own? Did he own like the Bills or like obviously the Jets or like something like that? I think that would be the only thing that could be more trollish.
Yeah, but I mean, like, go get minority ownership of like the Panthers.
He doesn't want the Panthers. He wants Las Vegas. That's where he's already got a team for, I believe, the WNBA.
Of course that's what he wants. That's what everybody wants. It's sexy. It's attractive. It's Brady. But yeah, I mean, people don't forget.
Baseball season is upon us, and the New York Yankees have swept the Houston Astros. It is crazy how much of a difference Juan Soto makes to the New York Yankees. They have swept the Astros to start the 2024 season. And I think the best part about Juan Soto and Alex Verdugo, I'll throw him into this, is that they bring this FU mentality, something that I think this team might have needed. Judge, Rizzo, Cole, DJ are all very calm guys, and now these guys are dogs in the clubhouse, as Alex Verdugo likes to call them. Do you think that this is exactly what they needed to bring themselves together?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, I forgot that Verdugo was born in New Mexico. Like, I just expected him to be like, yeah, no, we played well. But like, no, he's American, and it's weird to hear. But I think he is because he looks exactly like Canelo Alvarez.
He does. So, they look like they could be brothers for sure.
Yeah, they do. And that's what like always threw me off. But Verdugo, and keep in mind, like, Verdugo used to be kind of thin. He is flat out jacked right now. It's a perfect lefty bat in that order. Soto is a perfect lefty bat in that order. But on top of that, they are the personalities that thrive in New York. And I think that's what that clubhouse needed. Boone's kind of like a nonchalant guy, whatever. I'm on John Boy. You know what I mean? But like, you add those guys, you have a little vanilla, but now you just got to spice it up a little bit. These are the spices they needed.
So I would just be hesitant, because no more than 2 weeks ago, the sky was falling in the Bronx. World Series off. we're not even going to win 50 games or whatever. Like, it was bad. It was bad. And Jedi, you brought up a great point about why that is. And this, the fact remains true. They already have one major significant injury with Cole, which they're hoping for him to start throwing in June, I think I saw. So we'll see what comes of that. But they're a Juan Soto or Aaron Judge injury away from the whole season being a disaster. Yes, Verdugo's a good add and he's a good outfielder, but he's not going to replace a Juan Soto or an Aaron Judge if they miss any significant amount of time. So I would just say to you Yanks fans, just temper the expectations a little bit. I know they swept your hated Astros, but you're five games in. We'll see what happens. Let's see what happens.
I'll temper my expectations. Jedi, we're going to the freaking parade.
I'm not buying in yet. Look, the Yankees love to reel you back in and then break your heart. I'm not buying in on five games. Yeah. Look, there's some early season luck. I'm excited. I'm having fun. This is the most fun I've had in a while as a Yankee fan. I'm not buying in.
I'm buying in, dude. I'm putting the life savings on this stock right now.
But you'll be the first one to bail, though.
100%. Yeah, I'll sell the stock so fast it's not even funny. And look, hockey playoffs start in like seven games. So I want to be very realistic here when I say this. I do not care what happens to the Yankees from now until like June 17th, because I'm locked in the Ranger season. The second the Rangers bounce. Please don't say that. The second the Rangers get bounced or I attend that parade, then the Knicks are going to get bounced or I attend that parade. And I'm going to three parades because I might, maybe even four, because the Skins might win it too. You know what I mean? Like, it's, dude, I'm having a great time, Jedi. And I think, look, I'm building a raft. I'm like Noah with an ark, and I got two spots with me. You two boys want to join? You can come along for a fun ride. Or you can sit there and just watch me sail off into paradise. You guys can do whatever you want to do.
Or is this like the door in Titanic where you clearly have enough room, but yet you still are like, sorry, Jack.
No,
there was not enough room. I've watched that movie 1,000 times, and then when they do the eagle eye view, there's just not enough room.
Wrong. Yeah, I've seen the door in person. She could have been on the door. I have seen the actual door. It was in front of me. The door is 20 feet long.
Where? At Ripley's, Believe It or Not? Get out of here.
No, it's at Hollywood, Planet Hollywood in Orlando at Disney.
And it's the real door.
It says screen used in Titanic in the door, and there's a picture of them sitting on it.
It's the door.
Well, listen.
It's the door. And right next to it was the sled Kevin McAllister went down on the stairs with.
Oh my God, that's so cool. Lit. Those are like two.
That should be a ride right there.
Those are two monumental pieces of movie history that, you know, like, I would 100% want in my house.
You want to know something even funny? It was on a staircase, so where you kept going up around the stairs, and like they put holes inside like the pillar that was around the staircase. You want to know what was after that?
The mask from The Mask.
The Happy Gilmore sweater.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I mean?
Adam, like, Sandler was wearing.
That's just wonderful interior decoration there. Look, besides the point about the door, because whatever, it's a nice analogy. Like, they could have at least traded places on and off. Like, it was a little selfish, but it is what it is. All I'm saying is, whether or not the Yankees hit that iceberg, I'm going down with that ship.
All right, Rose.
No, like, I'm not Mr. Ismay. I'm the captain. Like, I'm not hopping. I'm not like Cal, who's like, I have a child and I get on a lifeboat. I'm telling you, I'm going down in that captain's room where like all the windows break. I'm in that ride.
I actually think that you're the violin players that go back together.
that's the perfect Gentlemen. Analogy. Yeah, that's perfect analogy. they're trying to keep it calm and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like when the water starts hitting them, they're just like, yeah, we're dead. That's a good analogy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be that guy that's really positive, uplifting until the All-Star break. And then when they say
we
that,
we all know where it's going.
Yeah, like I'm telling you right now, if Nestor is throwing game one of the playoffs, there's just no way. It's done.
It is insane the impact that Juan Soto has had on the Yankees already. But if he keeps this up, is this going to be his team and will Judge step aside? And I know this is crazy. But the New York Yankees have been in this same situation before when it happened in the 70s when Thurman Munson was the captain, but that was Reggie Jackson's team. Is Juan Soto going to do the same thing?
Oh, man. That's a great question.
I know it's crazy, but it's very like the way that we've seen him adapt to New York. And I know it's been 5 games, but it's a valid question.
Let me jump in first because you can think about it, Houdini. No, that's Judge's squad. And I feel like, you know, as what's the word to describe Yankees fans? Reactionary, I guess, is the best word to use. Like, when Juan Soto comes in, oh, he's the best Yankee ever. He's going to win 6 World Series and 10 MVPs, and he's going to sign for 20 years. Like, they go to the very extreme of it. No, this is Judge's squad. And I feel like the fans would have a revolt, too, if, you know, there's internal beef between Soto, him taking the squad from Judge. I think Yanks fans want it to be Judge.
Yanks fans may want it to be Judge. New York media is going to portray it like it's Soto's team. Now,
they already have.
I think, yes, they already have. Now, and that's because Judge is off to a slow start. Is it Soto's team right now? No.
No.
If he signs, then yes. And I think
Judge's Robin.
Yes, but it's still Judge's team. Like, it's hard to explain as a Yankee fan who like reads the New York Post on the daily. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to explain this, but it's always going to be Judge's team. However, they haven't gotten it done with Judge. I can't remember the last time we took 3 out of 4 from Houston, let alone swept them in Houston. It's not Oswaldo. It's you signed Soto or you traded for Soto. We swept the Astros. That's the narrative. So do I think the narrative in New York is this is Soto's team on the field and it's Judge's team in the clubhouse? That's the narrative I think they're pushing. But I'll say it right here, and it's a hot take. Juan Soto will not re-sign with the New York Yankees. And allow me to explain why in under 20 seconds. Juan Soto's in a contract year. He's going to absolutely go off. He is going to command a ridiculous amount of money. With the Nationals, as like a 19, 20-year-old kid, he popped off. Went to San Diego. Quietly popped off there too. Went to New York. He's going to pop off in the biggest market. And I think this is a guy that has that personality where it doesn't matter where he is. I think he likes being kind of like the face, but kind of not really the face. You know what I mean? Because he's just like with you know what I mean?
But isn't that perfect where he's at right now? Judge is like the face. And then he's like, you know, not Robin, but he's like 1B.
Yes, but I don't think he has a problem restarting somewhere. I think he likes doing that. So I don't see Soto re-signing mainly because I think he's going to command $550 to $650.
I'm going to say something outrageous. I think he gets more than that.
$650.
If he continues to do what he does, I'm not saying he's going to bat like 500. That's unrealistic. But if he bats like 340, and I predicted him to win the MVP, and he hits like 45 jacks, and his WAR is like above 10, he's going to get like $600 million. Because he's 25 years old. It's not like Aaron Judge where he did the same thing and he was 32. That's the way you got to think about it.
I don't see Soto signing a 10-year deal somewhere. I really don't.
Then he's not going to get $500 million. Then I don't. There's no way that he's going to get like 6 years, $500 million. I don't.
Well, and Jetta, you brought up a good point too. Like, say he pops off. Say he hits 340, 45 jacks, and like has all these big, you know, memorable moments, leads him to the postseason, possibly wins a title. How do you not re-sign after you had your career year? You win another World Series, like you do all these things in the biggest market in the country, like in a ballpark that is meant for your swing. I know if I was in that situation, I had my best offensive statistical season, I'm staying where the hell I'm at.
No, I agree with you, but I'm telling you, the vibe I get from Soto is not I want to be locked up for 10 years. The vibe I get from Soto is he's going to sign 6 for like,
I was going to say, yeah, 6 and then get another payday.
Yeah. He's going to get 6 for like 350. So when it's all said and done, he'll probably get 12 for like 70, like 750. That's how I envision it.
I think he's definitely going to get like, I for sure think he's going to get like over $500 million. I think that's a guarantee at this point. There's no shot that he's in the 400s. But I think I see your point there, 6 years, 350. But I think it's longer than that. I just think there's opt-outs to where it's like player option after 6 years.
Yes. And it yes. Goes no, into, for sure. It could be player option after two or three. Who's his agent?
Scott Boras.
Exactly. So
the scum Boras of the baseballer.
Boras likes doing long-term deals. But in Soto's case, dude, I'm telling you, like I don't know if that's the move for him. I think if you go 50 or 60 annual AAV, dude, right, you're talking about like getting New York tax too. For him to get New York tax, the Yanks might have to give him $7,750. That wouldn't surprise me.
I think the other thing that you really have to think about, which is interesting, Juan Soto has everything going for him. There's really no negative. He doesn't have anything bad in the media about him. He's going to be 26 years old, I believe, I think, when he's a free agent. Juan Soto is going to be 26. He could have a career year in New York. He's going to, if he is successful, he would have played on the biggest stage in sports in New York City. Like, there's nothing you could say bad about him to where you could counter an offer and be like, oh, I don't think you're worth that. It's like, the dude is doing everything if he's able to do that. That's why I think that he gets the money that I'm saying. Because, you know, when Judge's case, Judge was, hey, you haven't won a World Series. And I know Soto has won a World Series with the Nats. But also, Judge was 32 years old, turning 33.
Yeah, and also I'm gonna go on record here as well that I think his antics are annoying. I hate the Soto shuffle. I think he carries himself the same way he did in San Diego, the same way he did in Washington. I didn't like him in Washington. I didn't like him in San Diego. It's hard for me to like his antics and the way he carries himself in New York. It bothers me. It really does. The Soto shuffle bothers me more than anything else in sports.
You love it.
But I love him as a player. I haven't warmed up to the shuffle yet. If I was a pitcher and he did the shuffle, dude, I'm drilling him. But at the same time, I think it's exactly what the Yanks need.
I don't know. I guess we'll see. I think that he's going to win the MVP. Let us know. How much money do you think Juan Soto is going to get? And double question, is he going to leave or stay in New York? And when I say New York, I do mean the Yankees, because I know some people are already talking about the Mets with Uncle Steve there. Going to be spending some big bucks maybe this upcoming offseason for the 2025 season. More news about the Shohei Ohtani scandal. Is that the wrong thing to call it?
No, it's a scandal for sure.
Yeah, I feel like that's fine. There's more information coming out about this situation. His translator seems to be a liar. He has lied about his prior work experience, lied to Shohei, lied about where he got his education from. But this is the question I want to propose to both of you. Shohei Ohtani's money was used to pay this gambling debt. That is a fact. Regardless if Ohtani knew about it or not, take that aside. Say he didn't know in this instance. Does he still deserve to be punished by the MLB? Or will he be pardoned?
He's 100% going to get pardoned. I think Ipe, the translator, because that's what we're referring to him as, the translator. I think the translator fell on the knife here. And I think he'll
be taking
care of it.
Do you think Ohtani was doing it?
I'm not going to go as far as saying Ohtani was doing it. I'm going to go with, because I've been pretty good on these, in these crime things, you know what I mean? With like Bauer and stuff. I think Ohtani definitely knew, and he's going to get pardoned, and that deferred contract starts looking a little, looks a little sweeter for Ipe here in about 10 years when he's going to get a $25 million check handed to him. So I think Ipe, the translator, falls on the knife just to cover everything. Throw me under the bus, do whatever you got to do. It is what it is. We'll square up later.
I think it'll be a slap on the wrist. I'm kind of torn between it because part of me, like, I love Shohei the baseball player, but there are a lot of signs. It's like, I know Ipe the translator had access to his account and very easily could have moved all that money over. I feel like Shohei has so much money moving around with investments and other things. Maybe he wouldn't have seen that. That does seem like a very high dollar amount to not know it got moved. I think it's too big of a scandal, and I think Manfred covers it up. I think if there is any slightest bit of it looking bad for baseball, Manfred is going to cover this up. He tried to cover up the Astros cheating scandal and said a lot of bad things that still resonate with us today that we hate him for. And I think he sees this as a one of those kind of pivotal moments in his legacy as well, too. He's already mentioned that he only wants to be the commissioner until I think the CBA runs out in a couple years. So I'm torn on it, and I hate, you know, being wishy-washy. I can just see it going either way here.
I mean, look, this is a money-making business here. Right now we're talking about stuff that we're speculating. Do we really know if Shohei Ohtani knew about this? Not for a fact. It's a lot of speculation on things that have just come out. There's just a lot of weird stuff that's going on with this story as a whole. We talked about it last week, but this is a money-making business. Ohtani brings in billions of dollars to this game and the cities that he plays in. People drive out of their way just to watch this dude play baseball. He's the poster child of the MLB. Getting suspended will be the worst look that this sport has ever seen. I don't see a way that they suspend him. And I think that he'll get away with it, even if they know he did it. But I don't think the public will ever know that.
Have you ever, like, been across a scenario or even a person, for that matter, and you've liked that person so much, they did nothing wrong? In the back of your head, the older you get, Jedi, this is a life lesson for you. You're going to find out at some point you've been duped. Until you really know somebody, like I really know Deepaw. Like I really know him. We've known each other for a long freaking time. But the people that you meet later in life, you know only a fraction of them. So the public has sat here and watched this golden child. For 6 years, we have been plastered with the golden child of LA. Is it possible that we've all been duped, that he's been so perfect, he's secretly married, and all this stuff is just, he's just such a perfect dude. He's fun, he's likable, he's really good at baseball, he's probably the best player in the game. Is it possible that it was too good to be true? That maybe there was something else going on that just finally came out? It's no different than Jeter going downtown with like Puff Daddy and all that stuff. And like there were shootings at nightclubs that he was at and just it was never written about. Is it possible Ohtani has a black cloud that no one wanted to know about and the MLB is going to do a really good job cleaning it up? That's all I'm saying. It just looks like he was too good to be 100% true.
So my rebuttal to that would be, you're right. He is the golden child of Major League Baseball, and he was hyped as, you know, the next Babe Ruth, the largest name in Major League Baseball history. He's even bigger in Japan. Like, if you can put that into perspective, he's even bigger in Japan before he came over to the States. I feel like somewhere, somehow, if there was something as big as this, we would have heard about it by now. It would have been brought up previously. Like, I mean, he's the biggest celebrity in Japan. Like, it's not even close. He's like movie star big, like it would be here in the States. So I think we would have heard about something by now, just pure probability. Like, he would have messed up at some point, you know, being under the public eye for that long.
I see both sides to that. Both make really good points.
I don't know if gambling's like big in Japan.
It is.
Yeah.
So the only thing I'm looking at is, well, when did he meet Ipe? If Ipe wasn't in Japan, you've had that friend before that you've been boys with for X amount of years. And by year 4, 5, and 6, you start getting into some shit. Like it happens. That it happens. So I'm just saying, maybe Ipe the translator, maybe, you know, brought him over to the dark side a little bit.
The dark side. Well, I mean, let us know. This is a sticky situation. I honestly don't think that much more information is going to come from this story, which is really interesting because it's such a massive story in sports, not just baseball. But I just think it's swept under the rug, and I think people are eventually going to forget it to where we get to October and everyone's going to be like, whatever happened to that?
No, dude, everyone's already forgotten it. Like I'm saying, like, you see ESPN writing about it?
Well, it's just because there's no news about it. And you know, speaking of like the cover up too, this isn't the MLB conducting this investigation. Like, this is Department of Homeland Security. Like, this is, there are too many other ways that every single scenario would have to be covered up and buttoned up for not one piece of information to leak about this. So If it was MLB, we would never hear about it again. But this isn't MLB running this investigation. They'll hand out their discipline, but the more media is going to come from another source.
And I will say the fact that, like, honestly, like, if we're being real here, people bet all over the country. Like, yeah, he got caught. He screwed up. The translator or Ohtani, we still don't know. But I mean, like, to make a big fuss about this, if he didn't bet on baseball, I think the story is just irrelevant. Because plenty of people, you do illegal sports betting in the states that it's not legal. And I'm sure he's not the only one doing it in California.
No, he's just the only one making $4.5 million wire transfers. I'm going to go as far as saying there's not a single argument that could persuade me to think that he didn't know.
I don't think we're ever going to find out.
It's like Area 51.
We you know it. We know, but we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, we know. We know, but we have no idea.
We just picture in our heads what it's like. Just a little quick thing I wanted to mention, because this was really surprising news, but not really that surprising when you find out the franchise we're talking about. The Oakland Athletics just optioned their rising star, Estuary Ruiz. Did I say that right?
Estuary.
Estuary Ruiz to AAA for reasons we will never know. Last year, Ruiz led the AL in stolen bases. This year, in the first series of the season, he's already batting .429 with an OPS of 1,200. And they sent him down with no explanation. It doesn't make any sense. Obviously, there's like some sort of time service thing involved in this to try to maybe. But like, what are you saving him for? Because if you're the athletic way is to trade a guy right when he's about to hit his peak.
There was some rumors that I saw that came out of the Oakland area that him and was it Rooker?
Brent Rooker. Yep.
You're talking about the bracelet.
Who were wearing apparel
protesting John Fisher. Yeah.
Yeah. So am I going to go and say I believe this? Yes. Yes, I am.
100%. Yes,
100%. Because I'm all – for some reason, we're just into conspiracies tonight. And I'm telling you, dude, this guy is so petty that's why he sent him down.
Yeah, and I mean, Brent Rooker, I think, was 0 for 10 with 9 Ks. So it's like you don't send him down, but you send down the only bright spot that you have. And I in that same vein too, Houdini, I think the GM even commented, like, we need him to get some more at-bats and more significant at-bats and playing time. It's like, well, what are you talking about? Just start him now. He's your best player.
Yeah, there's actually more players that were on the team previously that have since been cut, including their old first base coach for wearing that same bracelet. He was fired.
I think he's just so damn petty. You're exactly right. He may not, and he is you're right. He is the one of the only few bright spots in that entire organization, and he may not see any more playing time this year.
It's bad. I think, you know what needs to be an investigation? We're talking about Shohei Ohtani's investigation. An investigation has to be done on the Oakland Athletics on moves like that. I think that there's a problem with the fact that Ruiz got sent down, and it's going to affect his service time on when these players can be a free agent, when they can hit arbitration and try to make more money. Because let's be real here. Do baseball players make a lot of money? Yeah, probably more money than they really should. The Shohei Ohtani really need to be making $70 million a year? Absolutely not. But
yes.
No, he doesn't. But, I mean, yes. Does he deserve it? Yeah, but $70 million a year, Houdini, I mean, come on now. What are we talking about?
He's making $2 million a year.
I don't care. All right, then Juan Soto is going to make $70 million next year. Aaron Judge makes $40 million a year. But regardless of the point is that MLB really needs to figure out a way to investigate these teams on where a guy like Ruiz, unless there's something going on to where his position is literally not needed because they have somebody returning from the IL, you shouldn't be able to send down a guy that's batting .400 with 1,200 OPS and led the American League in stolen bases. He's clearly productive. It's not like he sucks. This is petty.
The MLB service time reminds me of Deepaw. Help me out on the years. This might have been like what 2016 to 20, might have been 2015 to 2020 NBA resting guys.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah, it was early on in Silver's tenure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what this reminds me of. So I do think an investigation needs to be launched into shit like this, and I think the service years needs to go away.
I don't know how you fix it. It's a really sticky situation. I know they already tried to with draft compensation, with bringing guys up, but I also think an investigation needs to be done on the Athletics for, I think, intentionally sucking which I think a lot of teams are a little bit guilty of. Pittsburgh Pirates, sorry to mention them, D-Paw, but I think they're guilty of that a few years ago. Where they just weren't.
Astros, they started the tanking.
The Astros, too. Yeah, the Astros were, I mean, like, but I think that you need to be able to compete. I think there needs to be a minimum salary. I mean, I think I saw a stat. It was 2006, maybe. The Athletics payroll then is higher than it is now. I believe right this year it's $30 million, and like in 2006 it was $60 million.
Yeah, so but you can't double. You can't compare the A's in like that early 2000s to now. Like
I can though because the New York Yankees, the Dodgers, and the Mets have $300 million payrolls, and we're talking about a team in 2024 that's still paying their entire roster with the coaches and the training staff $30 million. There's a problem there.
Yeah, and they're in, you know, speaking to the Pirates and it back in those, you know, bad days, there were countless times that multiple players earned more than the entire team payroll in a year. So specifically on the Yankees, that happened a couple times. Like, you're right, Jedi. There needs to be some sort of floor.
I think I showed you guys this. Did you guys see the video that I sent to you prior with Big Al?
I did see Big Al.
I just need to mention this real quick. Big Al from the Little League World Series, where he said, "I'm Big Al and I hit dingers." Well, we have seen him now. I don't know how long it's been. It feels like a decade, maybe. It wouldn't shock me. He's now in high school and he's no longer Big Al, to say the least, but he still is hitting dingers.
No, he's slimmed up, Al.
Slim Al.
Slim Al. Sounds like a Goodfellas name. That's Slim Al over there.
I didn't know what Big Al was going to look like when he was a senior in high school, but I didn't think he was going to look like that. I don't know. I miss Big Al and his funny caricatures.
The only thing that I need to know now is, like, does he still, like, hit tanks, like, as per usual? Like, was that a normal thing or was that a rarity?
No.
The fact that there was a news station out there to tell him, like, "I'm Big Al and I hit dingers," and he happens to hit a home run that game, I'm thinking this is, like, a regular thing for him.
Jedi, we're talking about a drop 10 bat on 210-foot fences, and the kid was 300 pounds. Like, his parents had him on that double baconator with cheese fries and 20 hot dog diet. He was on legit the Babe Ruth diet, minus the beer and cigarettes, dude. Like, maybe he was drinking beer. But I'll tell you, it wasn't a light beer.
I don't know. Good for you, Big Al, though. It was good to see you. It brought back memories and it made me
Slim
happy.
Slim Al.
Slim Al. Sorry, Slim Al. LeBron James is back in the news again, though. He has finally admitted now for the second time about a retirement. He said, "I don't have much time left." This is very odd for a guy that never really referenced retirement in interviews for years. What are the odds that he walks away this year?
0.
Really?
0%.
Double 0.
He just keeps referencing it so much to where it's like, I mean, why are you talking about it so much? Are you like trying to tell us something?
Nah, he's not going anywhere. That Lakers team's low-key kind of good, too.
Yeah, they're a little sneaky. They're going to be one of those teams that you don't want to face rolling into the playoffs. But I'll tell you what, though, the Thunder are legit.
Yes.
I think he's referencing it, Jedi, just because he's performed at such a high level for so long. He spent more time in the NBA than he hasn't. He's never thought about retirement until now. Like, a couple injuries, a couple down for his standards, a couple down years with the team not having playoff success, I think he's finally starting to see it. Bronny is, you know, possibly going to get maybe a late round draft pick this year, maybe next year. He's finally starting to see, oh man, my kid is about to be in the NBA. And I think in his head, he always knew, once Bronny, you know, kind of gets to that age, I'll play a year or two with him, and then my career is over. So I think he's finally starting. It's finally starting to dawn on him. I'm not going to be, you know, playing for the rest of my life.
I don't think he wants the spotlight anymore. I think he's trying to dish off that LA spotlight to Anthony Davis because he kept saying it's Anthony's team, the X, Y, and Z. I just don't think he wants the spot. I think he just wants to go out and play basketball. He's definitely resting. He's definitely getting minutes off. So my thing is. If LeBron played 40 games at 100%, still the best player in basketball. But to play 82 games at his age, he's not, like, he's still unbelievable when he wants to be.
I'm glad he's resting. You brought up his resting. I'm glad he's doing that. So he can be, he's not going to be 100% healthy, but he'll be as well rested as he can be completing an entire regular season going into a playoffs. They need that.
Correct.
Interesting. Well, a little bit more basketball news, but we're going into women's college basketball. Caitlin Clark is an absolute dog. She absolutely balled out, taking down LSU. Rematch between her and Angel Reese, who kind of, I want to say, like almost bullied her kind of on the court. She was fouled out and lost and looked like an absolute fool. Caitlin Clark had the opportunity to wave goodbye at Angel Reese and didn't. And it made me like her even more because she doesn't need to wave goodbye. She knows she's the best and she doesn't even want to give the headline to mention Angel Reese in the newspaper. Which I love so much.
I have the utmost respect for Caitlin Clark. Not only is she the contestant's number one, but the big three offering her $5 million is even more exciting. And I'm going back on our projections or our predictions that I think she averages 10 in the NBA. She can flat out shoot. Look, this is ironic because I actually watched this game. It was the same feeling I had when Steph releases a basketball.
It just looks like it's going to go in every time.
I'm convinced it's going. I'm more shocked when she misses. She is a walking bucket.
She's
averages
legit.
10.2 in the NBA.
I was going to say, and when you think about 10.2, like depending how many minutes, is she getting starter minutes? Because that's, you know, three threes and a free throw and she's got 10. Like that's not that much to do in today's NBA. So she's got a great jumper. I kind of want her to take the big three money too. I think that'd be interesting and I think everybody would be talking about it. But I don't think she does it. I think through sponsorships and everything, I think she wants to win titles in the WNBA. But she's legit though. And I think we've always said she's legit. Like she is a great offensive threat. We'll see what happens in the NBA.
And we argued whether or not it was a distraction. We argued whether or not it was a distraction of her saying that she was declaring for the draft because I, at the time, did not know that the WNBA draft is like 22 days away. So it's like right after March Madness. So I kind of get that. But no, it's not a distraction. She wants every bit of that natty title. And honestly, I love her. I love her. I love watching her play basketball.
You want her on the Knicks?
Daughter. Yeah, I'll take her on the Knicks, dude. DiVincenzo would shoot mad threes.
This is absolutely wild. The rematch between Iowa and LSU, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese broke records. The game had more viewers than every 2023 World Series game, 4 out of 5 of the NBA Finals games, and the Sunday Masters.
Wow. That's insane. That is insane.
I did not expect that.
It was the most betted on women's event of all time.
Was it really?
Yeah.
And I was not one of the viewers.
Shocker.
I was actually at school. But I was watching the little highlights of Dave Portnoy. He was at the game and he was making like, you know, his funny commentary as per usual. He's a massive Caitlin Clark fan. And speaking of Dave Portnoy,
he threw a couple $100,000 on her, yeah.
Yeah, he did. Speaking of Dave Portnoy, it goes back to what we're talking about with Caitlin Clark. She was offered $5 million to play in the Big Three, which is a league run by Ice Cube. It contains all men, so Clark would be the first woman to play in the league. But Dave Portnoy had a counteroffer offering her $10 million just to play in his intramural Barstool basketball team on his team. $10 million.
Dude.
I hope she does it. Dude. So he's got to pay up.
This is not a diss. This is not a diss at all. But it's crazy the amount of money that she's being thrown at right now when this is more money than she would make playing in the WNBA.
No, it's sad. Is the word that I kind of want to use. It's just, I think it's sad for women's sports. There are tens of millions of little girls out there that are watching this tournament idolizing Caitlin Clark. And she's going to go to the WNBA and make $60,000. Like to me, I think the best word I can use is it's just sad.
No. And even though, you know, the salaries aren't there, like for her, it doesn't matter what her salary is going to be. She's going to make so much in endorsements, no matter if she's playing big three or not, even if she's just playing in WNBA, She is a national name. You mentioned all those viewership stats. People can't stop watching her. So they're, no matter where she's at, she's going to get a hell of a sponsorship deal from multiple companies, and people are going to keep tuning in. Possibly, you know, we talked about Mahomes, you know, getting ownership stake. She could be generational type talent in the WNBA, where you maybe see some ownership percentages getting thrown out there to keep her in the league.
Yeah, and continuing on with college basketball, though, what's going on in March Madness, Deepaw and Houdini? I know that we have Purdue, NC State, which was a name that one of you mentioned in our preview to make a little run. And then we also have Alabama and UConn. UConn is pretty expected here.
I said from the get-go, I think, Deepaw, it's ironic how kind of spot on we kind of were. I think UConn is the best team in college basketball. I think they have been for the last 2 years. I don't see Alabama beating UConn. They don't have the defense to do it, even though I think Pringle is really good. I don't think he's able to kind of hang with Klingon. So I think UConn walks away with this one. Purdue and NC State is the game that I want to watch. Zach Edey is a really, really good college basketball player. Don't know where he'll translate in the NBA, but that NC State squad of DJ Burns and DJ Horn are the Cinderella team that I think can handle Purdue. Purdue has the little white point guard. I forget his name. He can absolutely ball. But outside of those two, I don't see this being an easy matchup for Purdue. They almost lost to Tennessee. I low-key like NC State in this game.
I would love if NC State wins this game. I love DJ Burns, and, you know, fell in love with him during the ACC tournament run that he had. I just can't see him matching up well against Edey. I mean, I feel like it's going to be one of those scenarios where everything has to go in his favor. I hope it happens. I would love to see NC State upset Purdue. I just think this is, you know, hate to use the cliche, you know, team of destiny, but just like Virginia did when they were the 16 and got upset by the one, they won the national title the next year. I think Purdue is on a mission and nothing's going to stop them except maybe UConn. That's about it.
So I actually disagree with you. I think DJ Burns matches up better with Edey than Edey does with Burns.
I mean, he's going to have to play his entire game in the perimeter. And I mean, he's got a decent jumper, but Edie's not a bad defender. He's got that length on him.
No, but he has some touch around the rim, and Edey doesn't move that well. Burns moves really well, which ironically enough,
he passes great out of the post. Yeah.
Yes. Which ironically enough, DJ Burns is getting NFL interest from NFL executives and general managers because of how athletic and awesome his footwork is, for lack of better terms. His footwork, his hands, and his touch is good enough to draw it from the NFL. At 6'9", 275, Edey's not going to be able to move him. So I do think Burns is faster on his feet than Edey is defensively.
He's 6'9"?
6'9", 275. He's a big boy.
I thought he was like 6'5".
No, he's 6'9", 275. Like, he's a big dude.
Yeah, but what's
big Edey? For Edey's football. Like, that's like big for football.
Edey's 7'3", same weight. Yeah.
He's 7'4", 300. But the difference is I will guarantee
low
you.
Center DJ, gravity, I know.
If DJ Burns runs a 40, I bet it's a 4'8".
No. He's over 5.
What's an offensive tackle run?
5.
A 5? Okay, he'll run a 5.
What's
he'll
the run average a 5. Height I get of the an fastest. Offensive tackle? What's the average height of an offensive tackle?
6'8", 6'9".
Yeah, that's at the high end. That's at the high end.
I thought they were like 6'6", like 6'5".
Yeah, that's probably.
Yeah. You get a couple tall tackles, but you remember, your quarterbacks are typically 6'2", 6'3". You get a tall one every once in a while, but they got to be able to see over the line. That's why there's always that big issue about, you know, being at least 6 foot.
Well, your centers are normally like 6'3", 6'4". Right?
Right. You got to be able to see over the line is what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Well, before we get out of here, we're just going to do a 1 minute pass the chips. Pass the chips again. Today, I'm going with the biggest clown in the NFL, Caleb Williams, and he hasn't even played a game yet.
Clown.
This dude talks way too much, and he better be the second coming of Christ, the way that he talks about himself. There's a difference between being cocky, and then there's a difference between being an absolute idiot. Let's review some of the things he said and done so far. He said, I am the number one pick. I don't have a plan B. He declined to get medicals. When asked why he didn't meet with any other teams, he said, not 32 teams can draft me. There's only one, implying he's going to be the first pick. He said that he doesn't need an agent because he's grown. Give me a break. You're the opposite besides that, buddy. And he said he didn't even compete at the combine, or he didn't compete at the combine. He is afraid to compete, I think. And he's also afraid of the media. This dude is an absolute clown, and no one go in the comments right now and say, I don't know what I'm talking about, because this has nothing to do with talent. I didn't even mention it. The dude's actually very talented, but he's going to run himself out of the league quickly because of his mindset, because he doesn't have a backbone in his body to deal with any sort of hate.
Get him, Jedi. Right. Get him, Jedi.
I was holding on that one for a while. I had it for like 3 weeks, but we didn't do it.
Clearly.
I can tell.
So
he is going to go 1-1 overall, by the way.
Yeah. So you're not. So you don't like him.
No, I love him.
Okay. Cool.
All right, Deepa, I'm going to pass you these chips.
There are certain metrics in hockey, and Dino will love this, even though he hates this player. Maybe not hate him, but he respects him. But a point per game is one of the best metrics to use for a player offensively in hockey. And it's what a lot of, you know, career statistics get wrapped around. There are two players in NHL history who have had 19 seasons of scoring at least a point per game. So if you're not familiar with how hockey works, you get a point for an assist, same as a secondary assist, and you get a point for a goal. So Sidney Crosby, with his second goal of the night against Houdini's Rangers last night, secured his 19th point per game season. Only two players in the NHL history have done that. One, the great one, Wayne Gretzky, and two, Sidney frickin' Crosby, the best player of our generation. He may not win a ton of offensive awards and everything, but he is, even in his age 36 season, the best player in hockey. I know McDavid's got more skills. I know McKinnon's faster. I know there's a lot more talented players right now, but even at 36, he's the best player in hockey. He does everything right. He wins more faceoffs than he takes. He is the GOAT, and nothing Houdini can say will ever change that. He is the GOAT. Here, Houdini, I'll pass the chips to you, bud.
Those chips were good, but I would punch Sidney Crosby right in the face. So I'm going to piggyback hockey here. There hasn't been a President's Trophy Stanley Cup winner in 11 years. It's known as the President's Cup, or the President's Trophy Curse. Jedi, I'm going to educate you here. The President's Trophy has been awarded 36 times in the NHL. They have only gone on to win the Stanley Cup 8 times. The last team to do it was 2012-2013, the Chicago Blackhawks. This year, if the season were to end today, the President's Trophy would go to the New York Rangers. So, with 6 games left, maybe 7 for some teams, the Rangers have one objective. Lose. Just lose. Don't get the President's Trophy. Get the number 2 seed in the Metro. Play the Flyers the first round. Let Carolina go play Tampa or someone else. And we'll skate to a Stanley Cup. There it is. There's your recipe for success. Heard it here first from Houdini.
The Rangers are definitely going to win the President's Cup.
100% they're going to win the President's Trophy, dude.
For the trophy.
Well, that's going to do it all for us here at Hot Shots Podcast. Make sure to subscribe and follow all of our channels on social media at Hot Shots Podcast. And please tell your friends about it. Drop a comment. Tell you what you like. We'd appreciate it a lot. But until then, talk to you next time. Thank you.